All right, we'll start Tav Yud-Aleph Amud Aleph. We just did the Mishnah. Remember, we divided the Mishnah into three categories. That's what the Ran showed us. That the Mishnah really has three sections to it. We'll go backwards. The last section, which uses the Kaf HaDimyon, which is because they aren't, since they aren't inherently, right, the issues of Mizbeach are necessarily Kodesh, so then it has to be Vitke, right, we're going to make it like, whereas the middle set of Lashonos that are used by Nedarim are issues of the Mizbeach, are related to Mizbeach, and therefore they could replace the word Karban, and therefore they didn't need the Kaf HaDimyon, therefore they could just be by themselves. And then the first set of Lashonot were Lashonot of using La or Lo that gave us the ability to have it replace the word Karban or something that is positive. So those were the three sections yesterday we mentioned in the Mishnah from the Ran. Now, the Gemara is going to explain or try to dissect the Mishnah. So we said the first line of the Mishnah was Omer Lach Ulin Shokalach, right? If it Lach Ulin, and we interpreted Lach Ulin to mean Lo Chulim. It's not Chulin, but rather Kodesh. Right? So Sabrua. So the Gemara says, we thought to say my Lach Ulin. What is Lach Ulin? Lo Chulin. Right? Havi, Ela Karban. It should not be Chulin, Ela Karban. So now, when you see Sabrua, usually the Gemara means that's a Havamina. Over here, and other places in the Gemara, means Sabrua was a Havamina, and that is the conclusion too. I mean, it's not, in the end, we don't change this assumption that Lach Ulin means Lo Chulin. Not Chulin, but rather Kodesh. So, Mani Bakhisan, who is the author of our Mishnah? E Rabbi Meir, if it's Rabbi Meir, Leisle Michlav Lav Atashomeyahein, right? Rabbi Meir does not have the principle of inference. You can't infer just because something said in the negative form doesn't mean you can infer the positive. And if it's said in the positive form, it doesn't mean you can infer the negative form. Where do we know that from? By Rabbi Meir, that's not Rabbi Mishnah. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol Tanai, She'eno Ketanai, B'nei Gad, B'nei Rumein, Eino Tanai. Any condition that is set up that does not parallel the Tanai of B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven is not considered a Tanai. What's the Tanai of B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven? That's the Tanai in the Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu agrees to let them stay in Eivar Yarden on the eastern side of the Yarden. But the condition for them staying on the eastern side of the Yarden is that they'll be Chalutzim Lifne'am, right? That they will go before the rest of Klal Yisrael in order to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And over there, Moshe Rabbeinu makes what's called a Tanai Kuffel. It's a double Tanai. He says, if you go Chalutzei Tzeva, if you go in front of B'nai Yisrael, and you lead the armies into Eretz Yisrael and conquer Eretz Yisrael, then you'll be able to keep on the Eivar Yarden, on the eastern side of the Yarden. If you do not go Chalutzei Tzeva, then you will not be permitted to stay here on the eastern side of the Yarden, and then you'll have to inherit with the rest of Klal Yisrael on the western side of the Yarden. So Moshe said it both in the positive form and in the negative form, even though you could have inferred one from the other. So that's, Rabbi Meir says, that's the paradigm for Tanai. And you have to always mention both sides of the Tanai, both conditions. So you see from Rabbi Meir that we do not infer one from the other. Ela Rabbi Yehudahi. Right? Then it's Rabbi Yehuda. So who is the Baal Machlokas of Rabbi Meir? It's Rabbi Yehuda does not require this Tanai kafu. If that's the case, what's the last line in our Mishnah? The last line in our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda Omer HaOmer Yushalayim Lo Amar Klom. So if Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah, why does he have to be mentioned by name at the end of the Mishnah? Doesn't make sense. Rabbi Yehuda, Ema Seifa. What are you going to do with the last line of the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Yushalayim Lo Amar Klom. May the Seifa Rabbi Yehuda, Reisha Lav Rabbi Yehuda. He. So the assumption is that if Rabbi Yehuda is named specifically in the end of the Mishnah, it's clear that he's not the author of the first half of the Mishnah. Somewhere it says, Kulo Rabbi Yehudahi. It's all Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the entire author of the Mishnah. Vahachitani, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Not that it, at the end of the Mishnah it's Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but rather, Shih Rabbi Yehuda Omer. That's because Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer Yerushalayim Lomar Klum. That when he says Yerushalayim, he hasn't said anything. What does that mean, he hasn't said anything when he says Yerushalayim? Because he's missing the Kaf HaDimyon. He's missing that, the Kaf HaDimyon, which the Ran pointed out, was the last section of the Mishnah, where items that were listed that you have to use a Kaf HaDimyon in order for them to work as a Lashon Neder.
But why wouldn't it have been listed with the other ones in the middle of the Mishnah?
Oh, so he...
You could say the same thing about all of them.
Oh, so right, very good. So that's exactly, so what we're saying is that Rabbi Yehuda was just giving an example in the list, There's like the example list goes through a whole bunch of things. Right? So that's a whole set of names. So Rabbi Yehuda just picked up on the last one, Kirushalayim, and says, if you just say Yerushalayim and not Kirushalayim, that doesn't work. So that's what he's saying.
I didn't realize it was listed.
Yeah, it is listed, and he's just giving it as an example as one of the Lashonos in the Mishnah. So he's saying the reason it works is because you said the Kapadimion. Without the Kapadimion, it doesn't work. That's the statement of Hashem. So now, Mara says, V'chi Amar, implicit in what you're saying is, V'chi Amar Ki Yerushalayim the Rabbi Yehuda Mi Mitzak. Right, the implicit from this is if you use the Kapadimion, it does work. So the Mara asks, is that really true? Does Rabbi Yehuda believe when you say Ki Yerushalayim that it works? V'atanya. Don't we have a price there? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ha Omer Ki Yerushalayim Lo Amar Kum. Ad Shidor B'Davar Akarev B'Yerushalayim. So now you have a problem. Why? Because we have Rabbi Yehuda explicitly saying that even when you use the Kapadimion, it doesn't work. So then you can't make Rabbi Yehuda the author of our Mishnah like in that manner where you add, instead of saying Rabbi Yehuda is in a separate opinion at the end of the Mishnah, but rather that's giving the reason for the previous statement in the Mishnah, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of that previous statement in the Mishnah. He doesn't think that Ki Yerushalayim works or does not work. Now, just as an aside, what is the issue with Yerushalayim? The question about Yerushalayim is, we have a principle by Nedarim that you have to make a neder, b'davar ha-ne'asar. Right, you have to take a neder with something that you can make asur, right? But not something that is already, right, is asur from the beginning. So the question is, where does Yerushalayim's kedusha derive from? Right, so is there a certain aspect of man-made kedusha? Or is Yerushalayim something that's already kodesh and has no bearing on, it's not something that we are netzar? So that would be a question, whether when you say Yerushalayim, what are you referring to? There's two possibilities. One possibility is you're referring to Yerushalayim itself, the city, which there is, that's already a dvar netzar. That was something that was asur already, and you can't, right, it's not something that we place, or we make asur, and therefore you can't be matis and neder with it. Or, the other possibility it's talking about...
Asur in what context? What does that mean?
I mean, it has kedusha in the aspect of you can't eat kachim outside of there. But that kedusha is not right. But that's not like when you're makdish a behema, right? If you make a behema kodesh, you have the ability to create that restriction. You have the ability to create that kedusha, and therefore, if you make a neder bikarban, it works. Whereas with Yerushalayim, you're not making that kodesh, and therefore, when you makdish, when you connect the neder to it, you're not doing anything. So that's one possibility. Or when you say Yerushalayim, you can refer to one of the two other things. So some of the Rishonim say the way it works with Yerushalayim is that we're talking about the pieces of Yerushalayim. We remember that the Shari Alishka, the Trumas Alishka was the collections they made in Nisan for the Karbanos. And the leftover money from that was used to fix up Yerushalayim or fix the walls or make improvements in Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. So the one possibility is that when you say Yerushalayim, it means like the Trumas Alishka, the Shari Alishka, which are used that are made Kodesh to fix the city of Yerushalayim, that moved the walls, changed the walls. Whatever they did with that money, that would be what you're referring to. Or, when you say Yerushalayim, it means, like, karban shemukrab Yerushalayim, or something like that. Like the karbanos that are brought in Yerushalayim, or that which is kodesh that's brought in Yerushalayim.
That's what you associate with Yerushalayim.
Right. So that's the possibilities of when it works and it doesn't work, but now we see Rabbi Yehuda says, whether you say Yerushalayim or ki Yerushalayim, doesn't work. So now we have a problem, who's the author of our Mishnah? So Mara says, no problem. Kula Rabbi Yehuda Hi. We're going to still maintain that Rabbi Yehuda is the author of our Mishnah. Betray Tanaya Libet to Rabbi Yehuda, the Machlokes Tanoim in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Whether Rabbi Yehuda believes that the Kapha Dinyon helps or does not help. And that's what we just explained. Why it would help or why it wouldn't help would depend on what you, when you say Ki Yerushalayim, what are you implying or what do you think it means when you say Ki Yerushalayim? Alright, so if you look in the bottom line of Tosafot, on our daf, you'll see the last couple words. It says, when you use the kaf hamitzars, the one who says, habe kaf mitzars, smear the data noder, who takes a neder, the hat bis be kedushas Yerushalayim, it's be mapis with the kedusha of Yerushalayim, she asuya mi trumat alishkot, right, that is built out of the trumat alishkot. So that's the one opinion in the Rishonim, and, here, if you look in the second to last line in the Ran. The last couple words on the line, there's a dot. It says, Tana, the Masnisan Tzavar, the Rabbi Yehuda Dato, Adavar, HaKarev, Yerushalayim. Something that is broad as a karban in Yerushalayim. Okay, so that's, again, Kapadimyon, when you say Ki Yerushalayim, is that sufficient that you've now found something that is Davar, that you make, Davar HaNadur, something that you change its status to Kodesh? Or is the Kapadimyon referring to Yerushalayim, which is Netzar by itself or Netzar without any human intervention, and therefore it won't work for a neder. So now just to conclude quickly, right, our Mishnah now, the Gemara is assuming, is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda believes that you can infer from positive to negative, negative to positive, and therefore in the first line of the Mishnah it says, lo kulin ela kodesh, right, it won't be kulin but rather kodesh, that's Rabbi Yehuda making that statement. Rabbi Yehuda at the end of the Mishnah it says, which seems to be a separate opinion, the Gemara amends that to read Shir Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Kapha Dimyon work in that list of last items? That's because Rabbi Yehuda believes, if you just said Yerushalayim, that would not be sufficient, because you need Ki Yerushalayim to work. What about the Brisa that we brought down that says Rabbi Yehuda holds that when you say Ki Yerushalayim, it does not work? He said that's two Tanaim, that's my focus Tanaim, that Rabbi Yehuda holds. And the Tan of our Mishnah believes that Rabbi Yehuda says Kapha Dimyon's okay. The author of the Brisa says, no, it's not good again. Right now we're going to bring down a Brisa. The difficulty in the Brisa and the difficulty in the Gemara today is because the Brisa makes a certain statement about either Rabbi Meir or statements in the Brisa which seem counter to what we just concluded in the Gemara. We just had a whole Gemara here, and it seems to be that they're counter and the Gemara continues. So you have to do one of two items. You either have to drop it, right, remove it from the Girsa, or you have to somehow amend the Girsa to make it fit. So those are two approaches. One's the approach of the Ravid, that approaches the Ravid try to amend the mission to read some way. And then the Ran also brings another opinion that says that we wipe out this Girsa in order to make the Gemara flow. And then you can read the Gemara, you have to read the rest of the Gemara based on those two opinions, whether it's changed or not changed. All right, well,
and you amend it by Chasuri Masur?
No, I mean, this is Rishonim amending the Gemara. So it's not even the Gemara itself amending it, right? So it's Rishonim saying
amending that, the Gemara that we just did? Or
no, this upcoming, upcoming Gemara. All right, because you'll see in a second in the Brisa, there's one statement in the Brisa that the Gemara asks a question on, doesn't seem to make sense based on what we just concluded. All right, Tanya, here's it. Chulin, ha-chulin, kechulin, ben she'ochalach, ben she'olach, olo'ochalach, mutar. Any of those Lashonot are not valid nidorim because you didn't use the lush that we just had in our Mishnah, which is lachulin, which means lo kulin, meaning that kulin itself is not a form of nether. The only time it's a form of nether is when you say not kulin, but rather kodesh, right, or rather karban. So that doesn't work. None of those lashonos work. Now, lachulin she'ochel lecha asur, right? That sounds like our Mishnah, which is lo kulin, right, she'ochel lecha, that is asur. Now, if you say lachulin lo ochel lecha mutar, right, so now if you say it's a double negative, la kulin, lo kulin, so that what? Lo ochelach, that it will not eat you. So that means it should not be kodesh, right? It should not be a kulin, rather kodesh, that which I do not eat from you. So it sounds like that which I do eat for you should be kulin, right? So that's all right. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah Brisa says, mutar. Alright, that's it. So now the next line in the Gemara is what's difficult here, which is reishamani. So who's the author of this Brisa? Rabbi Meir here. Right? The author of our Mishnah, or the author of our Brisa, is Rabbi Meir. He, the Leis Blei Michlal Lava Tashomei Yehain. Right? So now, that is, right, from the, Rabbi Meir is the author of our Mishnah, who says what? That you can't switch. You don't infer from a statement the positive or the negative. The Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the Lashon of Lachulin Lo Ala Kelach Mutar? Right, if you say, right, lachulin lo chelach mutar. Right, what are you going to do, lachulin? But that lachulin means lachulin lo chelach mutar. Does that work? Now, what's the problem we just said? Right, we just said Rabbi Meir is the author of this Mishnah because he says we don't infer positive to negative, negative to positive. What was one of the statements in our Mishnah? One of the statements in our Mishnah was lachulin shochelacha asur. Which is basically our Mishnah. Our Mishnah that we just read, lachulin means lo kulin, shochelach, which is our Mishnah. And what do we say about our Mishnah? We just said in the previous Gemara that our Mishnah cannot be Rabbi Meir. Right? It was Rabbi Yehuda because Rabbi Meir says you can't infer positive to negative. And yet here, the Gemara is assuming that the Brisa is Rabbi Meir. Even though you have that lashon of lachulin shochelach, which is the exact lashon that is used in the Mishnah.
Unless you interpret the double negative of it differently.
No, that's the second line. There's a line right before that where there's only a single negative. Lachulin shochelach. That's the problem line. The second line, which the Gemara questions, is not a, is not problematic from our Mishnah. The one where it says lachulin shochelach asur, that's what we're questioning here.
Yeah, but when the Gemara says,
no, that's lachulin shochelach. That's the next line in the Mishnah. Right. That's fine.
So there's both the other line then.
Right, that's the problem. So Gemara, why did
if one, they both have to be Rabbi Meir if one is Rabbi Meir.
No, it said the whole Mishnah. They said Reisha is Rabbi Meir, right? How could it be Rabbi Meir? Gemara just concluded that our Mishnah cannot be Rabbi Meir with exactly that lashon. So what are you going to do? So you have to come up with a solution here for this. So that's what makes this next sugya so difficult, is that the Gemara all of a sudden assumes that it's Rabbi Meir, even though the Gemara just concluded that it couldn't be Rabbi Meir because of that. So you have two possibilities to deal with this, right? So if you look in the Ran, it's the top section of the Ran, the last wide line in the top section of the Ran. It says, Lacholin shol kelach. Kachi agirsa barova nishpolt. Most Gemaras, like our Gemara, has this girsa. Vikasha tuva. I mean, the many questions. Lom asur, right? Why should it be asur here? B'hamishum uchlal lav atar shomei ahein. Is it because you're inferring lachulin means lo chulin? Shokalach. So, hachuchil namaisiba, right? If that's what you have to do, oh, the Rabbi Meir leisle. Right? We just said in our previous Gemara that Rabbi Meir does not hold of this principle. B'chitei malo tzrichin b'hal nechlal lav. Right? If that's the case, that you don't need to make an inference in this statement. It came d'amar lo chulin akorchakar karban havi. So that's not even an inference. It's so obvious when you say lachulin that it means karban. That's not even an inference. Even Rabbi Meir would agree to that. Because if it's so obvious and you could read it that way, then you could have read our Mishnah with Rabbi Meir as the author, and that would have made the previous Gemara so easy, because Rabbi Yehuda would have been at the end of the Mishnah, and Rabbi Meir would have been the author of the first half of the Mishnah, would have made things easier. So it's clear from the previous Gemara, when you use the term lachulin, that you have to use an inference to get to, or infer positive negative in order to get to where you are. The fika. Alright, now it gives two possibilities, and then we're going to have to read the rest of the Gemara based on this. Fika. Yesh misha omer delo garsinan lehacha klal. Alright, that's one. One solution is just to get rid of that line of the Braisa, because it makes no sense. So that's one solution. And once you get rid of that line in the Braisa, you can move on with the Gemara, because it doesn't really interfere. Vachirma omrim lekayimak yirsa. There are others that are not so comfortable just erasing the line in the Gemara and the Braisa. V'shem arayv itzal. And this is what they say. Delechalin garsina. They don't say lachulin, but lechalin. The low vav. V'mushom haki itzar debechalot toda kamar. So chalin means not, right, like a carbon, exactly. That it's not chulin here, but rather chalin like chalot, right? Like your chalis, your chali roll. So
that's it. Which is a little strange. We're talking about negatives and much complicated things, and also in between you just put in such an obvious.
Right, but I guess I agree with you. I don't think it's such an easy, I mean, neither of them are elegant. It's
Do you ever see where it says chalin instead of chalot?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I think they would have brought that down,
yeah,
so
right,
I don't think
right,
so.
It brings it.
Right.
So I don't think
it's a quinoa.
It would be somewhat of a quinoa.
That's not a bad idea, and that would solve the problem.
Why it's so obvious, right? But it's interesting. Now, obviously, it's not. I don't think either solution is elegant, right? The simplest solution is to wipe out the girsa, because then you don't have any complicated questions, right? Then it's gone. The Raivad is reticent to wipe out the line of the Gemara, and the Gemara just seems to have it here, and Rove with the Gemara they found had that. So he tries to amend it to read Lachalin, bringing to Chalot, which is, again, it's not an elegant solution, but it's a solution. Now, we'll have to read the rest, these two opinions, you're going to have to read the rest of the Gemara based on the solutions that are presented. What is the difference in the Gemara? And that's what makes the Gemara complicated now, because of this one little line that's in there in the Gemara.
Even if it's right, but if you say if it's la chalin, and it means the chalos, but he's saying that we don't interpret the la as low, because otherwise if it's la chalin.
No, you have to write it with a shva. Then you have to write lit chalin.
Lit chalin.
Okay. Yeah, you have to write with a shva. Right. You can't write la chalim, then it'd be lo chalos, right, which wouldn't work, right? Exactly. You have to switch it to a shva too. I mean, that's easy. To switch it between a shva and a patach, that's right. There's no nikudos here. That you can do. But to take out the vav, that's a little more complicated.
All girsas contain this problem.
He says rov nuschot. I mean, I'm not an expert in girsas, but he says that the Iran says that most of the gemaras that they found had this line in it. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if some don't, I mean, it's not such a big deal taking
it. It's less of a big deal. The question is how authentic are the ones that, when you have girsas, certain of them are viewed more with more credence and more authenticity. Versus others where you'll see, other times, Rashi will mention this, sometimes he'll say, Eiz a tami toeh, right, that somebody put something into the Gemara that shouldn't have been there. I mean, that when a copier should just be basically the equivalent of a copy machine and just dictate. But some of the copiers were smarter, or they're learning at the same time, and they amended things as they went along without problems. So the question is, who is the person who was copying and amended it? I mean, you have to take that into consideration when you say, okay, there's something with that, or it's missing this in the girsa. You know, which girsa, which one are you relying on? So that's a general question about girsas, not unique to this case. You have to pick which girsa. In general, you have that the Rambam also, which one's considered the more authentic version of the Rambam, who has the more authentic version, and therefore when you go and switch girsas in the Rambam, which one should you follow? Okay, so now we're going to go into the Gemara. The Gemara says, what are you going to do with the second, what's the last line of the Mishnah? Which says what? If we say Rabbi Meir is the author of a Mishnah, the last line of the Mishnah said, Lachulin lochal lach mutar.
The Brisa.
And the Brisa, I'm sorry, right, thank you. The Lachulin lochal, we had the double negative, it's mutar. Vahatznan, we have a Mishnah, the Karban lochal lach, right, Rabbi Meir, Oser. So when it says, Lachkarban, or Likarban lochal lach, right, it will be a Karban that I do not eat from you, that is Oser. Right. Vikashalon, and we have a question, Halais le michlala vatashomehein. Right, we already have by Rabbi Meir, right, that he doesn't infer anything. So when you say likarban, it should be like a karban, lo chala, that I do not eat from you. So what does that imply? Right, that what I do eat from you should be a karban, right? So likarban, lo karban, lo chala. It should not be a karban, that which I don't eat from you. That means what I do eat from you should be a karban, and that's why it would be asur. So that's an inference. Why does Rabbi Meir accept such an inference? Right here, Rabbi Meir is making a statement that is asur. So the Gemara says, no problem. But I'm Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, I can reinterpret that to read like this. Nase ke omar le karban yehei. It should be a karban. Lefikach lo chalach. Meaning that it's not a single statement, where the single statement is lo karban lo chalach. Right? Rather, it's two separate statements. Meaning le karban, it will be a karban. Because of that statement I made of Likarban, lo chalach, I will not eat from you. And that's telling you the result of my first statement is the second statement.
What did we originally think?
We thought that we were going to say Lakarban, which means lo karban, and lo chalach, which means it will not be a karban, that which I do not eat from you. Right? So it's a double negative, it becomes a positive. That means that what I eat from you will be a karban. Okay, but now they're going to say no. So it's rather the karban.
But what I eat from you will be a karban would mean that it's usher.
Yeah. Rabbi Meir says it's usher. But the problem is Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir does not hold of doing inferences.
One statement.
It could work. According to Rabbi Huda, that's not a problem. The problem is that Rabbi Meir is the author of that statement. If Rabbi Meir is the author of that statement, we just said Rabbi Meir does not make inferences, and that's why he's the author of our previous braisa. Right? Therefore, because he said, Lachulin lo kalach is mutar, because he's not willing to make any inferences, right? Therefore, or the other way, lachulin asur lach or okshel chalach is asur, it's because he doesn't make inferences. So, if that's the case, why we have a mission over here where he's making an inference? So the Gemara says, don't read it, and don't read it that way. Read it as two statements, which is lakarban, it should be a karban, and therefore lo chalach, I will not eat the food from you. And that's how Rabbi Abba says solves the problem. So hapanami halchi kamarle. So over here he's saying the same thing. Lo lechulin ha'ave, it should not be chulin, which means it will be a karban. Fikach lo chalach, therefore I will not eat from you. All right. So now, if that's the case, right? Then in our Mishnah, why don't we in the brisa that we just brought down that we said Rabbi Meir is the author of? All right. We say lo chulin ha'ave, it should not be chulin, which means it will be a karban. So lo chulin and karban are synonymous, and then therefore lefikach lo chalach. Right, so then the Gemara says, now, here's another problematic line in the Gemara, which is, what is the Gemara just doing now? Which makes it even more complicated, right? The Gemara just said that they're willing to entertain, according to Rabbi Meir, that lachulin, right, would be lochulin, and therefore, lochalach, and that would be equate to likarban, lochalach. But why, Rabbi Meir just said to us before that you can't say lachulin means karban. So here the Gemara says, no, that's okay. Here we can make lachulin is chulin. So this is the next big problem in the Gemara, which is that all the Rishonim have to explain how this is different than our Mishnah. How come in our Mishnah when you said lachulin, right, so chalach, that doesn't work? The Gemara is not willing to have Rabbi Meir be the author of our Mishnah. But rather, when you say lachulin, lo chalach, all of a sudden Rabbi Meir could be the author of that statement. Why is that true? That doesn't make any sense. So that we have to explain. So now that's the next piece of the Gemara we have to explain. All right, and then we'll just continue and finish up this last line of the Gemara, and then we'll go back and try to solve all these problems. We'll see some of the Ran over here. But rather a carbon, the peacock lo akela. Haikana, Sovereign Rabbi Meir Bechado, or Polikalei Bechado. This author in our brights over here holds like Rabbi Meir in one position and does not hold like him in one position. Sovereign Kavate Bechado, the Leslay Michlal Alavato Shomehain. He agrees to Rabbi Meir's position that you can't infer positive to negative and negative to positive. Upogale gale bechada, but he argues on one that bikarban, that is when you make a statement bikarban, when he says bikarban, which means if you say karban, lochalach, you don't read it like Rabbi Abba did as two different statements, right? As, you know, lo karban, it won't be loka, mean that it will be a karban, and therefore I won't eat it, but rather lo karban, it's not a karban lochalach, it comes double negative, and therefore it will not be kodesh at all. Right? So that he argues on Rabbi Meir with. Either way, right, Rabbi Meir presents us with two problems. This Gemara presents us two problems in the position of Rabbi Meir. One is the statement in the Braith itself, which is La Hulin, right, Shokala, which is equivalent to what's mentioned in our Mishnah. That we solve by either taking it out of the Braith so, or changing the Girsa to read La Halin. Right, that's one. The second problem we just had was the Gemara is willing to entertain, according to Rabbi Abba, that the word La Hulin, Lo Okala, should be Lo Hulin, which means Karban, right, Shalo Okala. I mean, but then, why couldn't he say that in our Mishnah? Why can't we say lachulin in our Mishnah means karban? Versus over here, where the Mar is willing to entertain lachulin to mean lochulin is karban. So what's the difference between what Rabbi Abba is explaining in this braisa here, and our Mishnah, that one place we say Rabbi Meir can, and one place we say Rabbi Meir can't. Okay, so now, alright. Yeah, so look in the Ran, second wide line in the Ran. Okay. Our second widest, not the widest, but the wide line in the Ran, when you're coming down below the Gemara. It's right, the first line below the Gemara in the Ran, the second line down, that starts with Chitema. Chitema. Afilu hochi, heche motzi chayo. How can this work when you say, lakulin lo kalok? Hatzrichi mahani lo umar, michla lava tashomeya hey. You have to infer a negative from a positive from a negative here, which is when I say lakulin, I mean lokulin, but rather karban. The Mishum Hokey Ukimla was sum up when he sees the Lok Rabbi Meir. We just said in our Mishnah that he can't be the author of our Mishnah because it said Lakulin in our Mishnah. Lav Kushihi. Right? This is how the Ran solves the problem. Dahani Mili Bimasnis in Dimisayim Basha Okalach. Ah. It depends how you end the statement. Aval Haid Misayim Lo Okalach Osir Mashmo. Vahilu the Rabbi Meir. Right? So this is, so now you have to, the Ran says, that the ending statement will affect how we view the first word. So we're in a Mishnah when it says she'ochalach, then when you say lachulin, right, then you're depending on lachulin to create the neder. Because you're saying what? Lachulin means lochulin, but rather karban. And then you're saying karban she'ochalach. What I eat from you will be a karban. So I need that word karban over there, not to attach to the latter statement, she'ochalach. But when I say lo chalach, right, that when I say lachulin, lo chalach, then if we looked at the second statement independently, lo chalach means, what am I trying to do here? I don't want to eat from you. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to eat with you. And therefore, when we say lachulin, lo chulin in that case, we know he's trying to create a neder through that lachulin. And therefore, the word karban over there, we're willing to infer it because of his second statement. Alright, so that means that Rabbi Meir doesn't say we infer when it's not clear, right, that what your interpretation is not clear, and we have to interpret the lachulin to karban to create the nether. But over here, your second statement brings evidence or enlightens us as to what you meant in the first statement. In that case, it's less of an inference. Let's call it less of an inference or less of an imposition to do that, and therefore Rabbi Meir would even agree in that case. That's the way the Ran explains it.
Would you say that he's saying that since people don't usually speak in double negatives like that, it's more straightforward to assume that when he says lo ochalach, he means this is my intention. My intention is not to eat from you.
Yeah.
Right? And therefore understand the first clause accordingly.
Yeah.
Right? So if you look at it that way, it seems really it is a much less ambiguous statement.
Right. It is helpful. Yeah, I mean, you still are. The difficulty is that you still are inferring. I mean, there's no... So the Ran is taking away the sting of the inference here versus the in our Mishnah. So he's saying there are different levels of inference, like what you're suggesting, Shoal, that when you formulate it as lo akalak, you're making your intention much more clear, and therefore the inference is less of an imposition. And
therefore, we accept the right. Even to Rabbi Meir.
Right. That's what you have to say. Although I'm saying it's not simple, but that's the Ran's solution here to that problem. Hakei be'rishu the Shmaita. But as I explained, the man the garis lukulin bevav. That's it, according to the one who says, leaves the gears of the way we have it and wipes out that one line. Now, what do you do with the Raibin? Right? The Raibin who changed the gears to read lachalin, he has another line in the mission. He's going to read lachalin, lo chelach. What's he going to do with that? So there, the man the garis lay below vav, at the shepherd's fey, it works better. The Hakei parak. This is what the question of is. Tehiye chadarmin and likharban, yehe Hakei namihe lichalin. Right, so not lachalin, but lichalin with a shva. Right, so therefore it'll be, it's a equivalent term. It'll be lichalin, lo achelach. So that'll be the equivalent of what we saw in the Mishnah of licharban, lo achelach. And that we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir said is fine, because then we divide, Rabbi Abba says, divide the statement into two. And therefore it'll be lichalin, it'll be like halot toda, and therefore lo achelach. Right, so that's a more elegant solution. That's what the Ran says. Right, it's the Ron says about the Raibit solution that it's much more elegant at this point in the Gemara. Right, so therefore, and that, therefore, it would be what? That would be an elegant solution. So it's easy to read the Gemara. So what was more difficult for the Raibit of earlier, by amending it to read lechalin, which was made it lechalin, right, because, I mean, we haven't seen such a term, and it's, you know, meaning that he has to take out a vav, it's a strange formulation. Nevertheless, in the second, that next line of the Mishnah becomes much easier. Because then you have a statement that's equivalent to likarban, with a shva, right, likarban, or lichalin, right, she'eno okala. And that makes sense why the Gemara is questioning why the two are not equivalent. Whereas, according to the way the other possibility, which is where you wipe out the girsa, and you say that it still says lichulin, then this next line in the Mishnah says lachulin, which with a patach under it, lachulin, lochulin. Why is that different than our Mishnah? You have to come up with the Ran solution, which is because of the second negative statement of lochalach, it allows you to infer from in the first statement where you won't do that in the Mishnah where it was a positive statement, shochalach after lachulin. All right, so that's the way to get through this Gemara. Now the next line in the Gemara is Rav Ashi's solution. Rav Ashi gives a different solution. So this is rather than Rabbi Abba. Right, Rav Ashi Amar Had Amar Lichulin. I'm sorry, with the Shva. V'Had Amar Loch, meaning Lochulin. Lochulin meaning Lachulin. Not right. So that Rav Ashi suggests that the difference here is between whether you say Lichulin, which would be a Shva, which means to be chulin, and Lachulin, which means right Lochulin. That's how you explain our Mishnah that says the lich. It'll be lichulin shochelach. Lichulin lochelach. It will be for chulin that which I do not eat from you, right? And that would be a negative form. And then Rabbi Meir would not. If that's Rabbi Meir l'shita so, which says that I cannot make something negative into the positive. If I say it should be chulin that which I don't eat from you, that implies what? That which I do eat from you is a karban. And Rabbi Meir says mutar doesn't work. And that's Rabbi Meir l'shita so. That works easily. That's what Rabbi Ashi says. It says lichulin, that is in the brisa. And then in our Mishnah, or in the case of the, in the case of our Mishnah or other places where Rabbi Meir says it doesn't work. That's lachulin, where it means lochulin. So that would be the Sada Mashma lahavi chulin ela karban, which is why it infers that it will not be chulin, but rather a karban. Alright, that works well according to the gears that leaves as lichulin. Right, it'll be just the opposite for the gears of the Raven's gears who says lichalin. Right, so then he'll have to change the girsa to read, right, in the bright, they'll have to say lachalin, which means lochalot, shalochalach, right, and that's why it doesn't work over there, alright, whereas in the Mishnah, they'll have to read it lichalin, right, which it'll work, right, so if you just want to see that inside in the Ran, we just explained it outside, we'll quickly just show this in the Ran himself, alright, so if you look in Rav Ashi, it's in the Ran where it says Rav Ashi.
Can someone bring this to me as soon as the shear's over my house?
Okay. Rav Ashi Amar, Had Amar Lochulin, Had Amar Lochulin. Klomar, Kula Brites of Rabbi Meir here. The whole Brites is Rabbi Meir here. V'hachtani Seifa Lochulin Lochelocha Mutar Mari Damar Lichulin Bishva. When he put a Shva, Takar Alamit. And therefore it's Lichulin, Shaloh Kalach, which means it'll be, they have to make an inference on the whole statement. It'll be Chulin, what I don't eat from you, which means if I, what I do eat from you will be a Karban. Hilkach Lach Lamefar Lo Chulin. Kamar, Maya Mart, Chulin Yehei, Mashaloh Kalach, Hamashochel Yehei Karban. Let's say Rabbi Yehei, Mikla Lavat Hashemeh Hei. So that solves that problem. Hadamar Lachulin, Klomar Bepata, under the Lamed, Lachulin, which means, right, Lachulin, Madamar Vashi, Hadamar Lav Dafka. It doesn't mean he literally said Lochulin, it means he says Lachulin with the Patak under it. Ta'ala Brightsi, Ella Hakikamar, Had the Bites the Mitzar, Umidamit La Lahach to the Karban, Lochelach, right, when you wanted to say that it's a Karban Lochelach, Kushta Kamar, that's good. Koshamar Lachulin, the Lamed Ptucha. That works when you say Lachulin. You say Lachulin, Lochelach, that would work like Karban, Shalochelach. Okay, because la, that would be like the, we saw in the round above, that Rav Meir would even agree in that case. When you say lo kulin, shelo akalach, that's equivalent of saying karban, shelo akalach. That works. But when you say lichulin, shelo akalach, that's like our Mishnah, which says lo kulin, shelo akalach, when you only have one negative statement in there. In that case, you can't make an inference. Hakei perush leman degaris lichulin bevav. That's according to one who says that it's kulin. Now, leman degaris, the lo vav, Ravashi Hakimitar. It's the one who says it's lichalin. What's he going to do? He's going to say the exact opposite. Tachi amar lichalin b'shva mitzar. Tachi amar lichalot toda yehei. The fikach lo chelach. Therefore, I will not eat you. Do me the karban. Right? Lo chelach. So that's what it means in the brisa. It works in the brisa. It would work when you say lichalin. Right? That shelo chelach. That's a Rabbi Meir. Dahi nami b'lamit shva it dafka. Aval ki amar b'lamit ptucha. Lachalin, that it should not be chalos kamar, shkak mashmulu shino. Alright, yev shalach farshu bin yachar hilkach sharia, therefore it will be mutar. So when Rabbi Meir says in our Mishnah, lachalin, lo chalach means lo chalot, lo chalach, and that, right, won't work. So that's in the Braisa. In the Braisa, when it says, lichalin, lo chalach means lachalin, lo chalach, and that, according to Rabbi Meir, that's why he says mutar over there. And the Mishnah, when it says, likarban, that's why it does work over there. Okay, so that's, again, you'll have the opposite conclusions from the,
We're interpreting that as the double negative.
Right. That'll be a double negative, and a double negative will not work in that case. According to the Girsa of the Raivin, which is much more elegant than this part of the Sugya, we don't need to come to that issue of saying that a lachalin will be really halin, because according to his Girsa, it means you just read it with a shva, lichalin, Shasur la, and that likarban, shasur, the eno chelach, those work. When the Mishnah says, lachalin means lo chalin, lo chelach, that doesn't work, just like it doesn't work in our Mishnah when you say lachalin. That's it. That would work according to it. So that's the two answers according to the two different girsos. But just to summarize quickly, then we'll move on to Gemara. It's a quick Gemara. We'll start today and then it'll conclude tomorrow. Just quickly, right, the issues that we faced in the Gemara today, the Braisa has a statement that's identical to our Mishnah. And our Mishnah, the Gemara rejects Rabbi Meir being the author of the Mishnah, whereas over here, the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Meir is the author of the Braisa. The second problem we ran into was a statement by Rabbi Meir of lachalin lo chalach, which the Gemara concludes, right, lachalin, shalo ochelach, the Gemara concludes, or asks a question, why shouldn't that work like likarban, shalo ochelach? That means that Rabbi Meir is inferring from lachalin, lochulin, to be the equivalent of karban. And we're allowing Rabbi Meir to make an inference, even though Rabbi Meir himself, we know, is the opinion, you can't make an inference. So those are the two major problems in the Braisa and in the conclusion Gemara. Two ways to solve it, right? One way to solve it is to get rid of the Girsa of Lokulin. That gets rid of the problem in the Braisa, but it still entertains the problem of why does Ramiro infer a negative to a positive? We said that depends on the full statement. When you have a statement that has a positive statement afterwards, we're not willing to infer a positive from the first negative statement because you've made Shokalach unclear what you meant. Therefore, we're going to assume that we don't make any inference. Whereas when you make two negative statements, right, then we infer the fact that you said Lo'elchalach means that you meant in the first part that it should be Asur, and we're going to say Lo'elchalin means Karban, even though that's a little bit of a jump. That's the one solution we had. The second solution we had, where it was, and then Ravashi's solution, which is just a play on that, is whether you use lit or la to solve the problem, right?
That's it. Ravashi's answer would seem to be the most straightforward.
It is, but it still has all the issues. I mean, we still have to answer what we just did in the word lachulin. We're going to have to say it's lochulin. All right, doesn't solve that problem. I'm just saying that's Ravashi's interpretation inside of the Gemara. Now, next, you have the Ravid solution. Ravid solution is to change it to lachulin. that solves one problem because it's not identical to our Mishnah now, because our Mishnah is talking about lachulin, and this price is talking about lechalin, which is lechalot todah, which is the equivalent of karban. That works nicely with the next issue in the Gemara, which is when it says, compared lekarban to lechalin, right, they are. That's equivalent. It'd be lekarban, shalo kalach, and lechalin, shalo kalach, and those two would be the exact same statement. Therefore, you don't have any inferences. You don't need to make any inferences according to Rabbi Meir, and that would be easy. And then Ravashi's solution on top of that is to say, oh, why is the price different than the thing? Is what do you say? You can say it's a shva or a pata. All right, I'll just start the next Gemara, and then we'll continue that tomorrow. Bye, Rabbi Rami Bar Kama. If he says, so the meat of a shlamim after the zrikas adam is eaten by the owners. So therefore, it's mutar the gamre. So what's the din? Mau. So the Gemara says, eat to kamar ba'dain. If he says, well, with this, I want to be awesome, meaning he's making a matis, the nether, to this item. Lishna, right? Behadain lishna, behaderaka matis. Then he's talking about something that's mutar. You're talking about meat that you can eat. So what does that mean? Ha ka ha? This should be like that? That's mutar. So what are you're not making a nether of any sort. That can't work. Elakilon, the makit basar zipche shlamim. Now he has a meat of zipche shlamim next to him, and then he has heter next to it. Vamar zekazet. This is like this. So I'm sorry, the first statement where he says he makes a full statement. Hare like basar zipche shlamim, lapras vikatamim. That's nothing, because he's talking about something that's mutar. That doesn't do anything. Now, what happens if he doesn't mention the basar zipche shlamim, but rather it's there? He has a piece of shlamim in front of it, and then he has another piece of meat right next to it. And he says, zekazet. This should be like this. Ah, so now you have what to interpret. My bi'ikaroka matis, oh beterika matis. What is he talking about here? Is he talking about where does shlamim come from? Shlamim comes from, or this meat of shlamim came from something that was kodesh b'kedusha shlamim. So he said zek and zek. Does he mean this meat should be like the shlamim that this came from, and that would be matis the davar asur? Or when he means zek and zek, he means this meat should just be like this meat, which is the meat after zrikas adam, which is mutar. So we don't, which one is it? Is it that he's going back to the original shlamim? Or is he going to talk about this meat here? So Amarava Tashma. In our mission it says, notar pigol, v'ha notar pigol achas zrikas damim. Notar pigol happen after the blood is sprinkled, right who? And therefore what? They are still good to be used as a nether. So you see that the meat of the basar zipche shlamim after the nether should also be good, that you're really referring back to the ikar of the karba. Alright, so that's it. We'll stop the Gemara here. I'll just point out that the Ryan asked a question, that even by basar zipche shlamim, it's usur titzmeim, and it's also usur, there are parts of it, like the shok and other parts that are gifts to the kohanim, that are usur titzorim. So why don't we say that when he's matpis the nether, he's matpis in those sections or parts, the basar is still usur in part. So he makes a distinction, the Ryan makes a distinction, that he says that they come about from different things. When you say that you have to be matpis a nether, but dover hanasar, which is something that you can make usur, that's when you're making the kedushas shlamim, does something to the carbon, right? You make a carbon shlamim, therefore you have something that is asur. Therefore, if you're matpis with it, it works. Whereas the reason that you're usur to eat basar of shlamim, or you have to give certain things to the kohanim, has nothing to do with the fact that you made it kedusha shlamim. That's done already. Your kedusha shlamim is gone. Those are isurim that come about from the Torah on such a meat that has such a status. So those isurim, right, are independent of your, or not independent, but not related back to your original kedusha shlamim. Right? Because they come about because of the Torah says that these pieces belong to this person, Tamei can't eat this, but not because you made it kedusha shlamim. That's a rule of the Torah. And therefore it's doubt. Therefore when you're matpis on that, that won't work, because that's not something you made. You didn't make the restriction on the zarm. You didn't make the restriction on the tmeyim. That's a result of it being basar shlamim, right? But that's not what you did. You did was you made it hektesh, you answered it to everyone. Once the zrikas adam happens, the action that you took is gone now, and now it's rolled into whatever the Torah prescribes for such meat at this point in time.
You made it usur by bimakish to be a karma.
Yeah.
That was
that's your action.
The comparison, what we're learning from the statement of Anosar, people of the Zirkazam, is that you can't be learning it from the Isser. Since our Mishnah says that those are valid statements of a Nedar, which makes it Usser, well, we know Nosar and people are Asurim nothing to do with you.
Right.
Right? The Torah gives it a state of iser.
Right. So therefore, must be talking about the Ikar Karban. Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very good. So that's what the Ran says. If you look in the last lines in the Ran here, that's what he says.